If you would open your Bible, as it were, to the book of First Epistle of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. And in the process, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened your love letter, thy word. So God, here we are. Help us, Spirit of God. Thank you very much. Thank you for making it so that we who are earthly can understand the heavenly. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our study of the first epistle of John, I'm going to go, if I can, to verse 4. And in verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because, the little word because, the reason. What's the reason that we have overcome? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, tackling that, to see that and understand it better, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, that just uses two people. One that's in the God in the heart, in Christ, and the devil. Two people, that's the reason. The two people, it's all going to be answered understanding these two people, Christ, God in the flesh, and the devil. Now, in order to do that, you need to have, you know, we have prices for food and gas. We don't govern them. Someone makes them up somewhere, and the system that we live in works them out. The value of a dollar isn't in our hands. It's in the hands of a big system, not just the bank, the World Bank, and all the others, and our country, and all of these different things. So we don't fix the dollar. It's out of our hands. But we use the dollar. We use it. And here's all the different systems in our, here's globalism, and all this, I don't know how many, you more better than I, 3-4 different systems that I know of that are all working, that they are trying to work out the world according to their system. And they're busy doing it big time, lots of money, big power, powerful people. We don't control it. We just live here and do what we do, coming and going. But we're under the control of a whole system over us, that's governing us. We just live there. We don't think about it. But if you stand back and look, the big systems are doing what they do. The globalism trying to work out the one ruler and all of these different things to do what they're doing. Now, God, with that little thought in mind, what do we want to do? We want to stand back, God. And here we are, reading your word. And greater is he that is in us in the believing heart than he that is in the world. Now, God, that's little of us. I want to see that. Stand back and get the big picture of why is that so? Now, in order to do that, let me remind you and refresh your memory. Over to Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, and our Lord, chapter 14 of Isaiah, Ezekiel 28, those two chapters are detailed about Lucifer, son of the morning, why the devil fell. The devil was a beautiful Lucifer, son of the morning, was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful angel above all others. He was like no other angel. He was special. It had a special place, and he coveted that place. He thought the worship that he had, the beauty of his person. He saw the beauty of his person, and the angels all created, worshiping God. And he was so beautiful. Now, so therefore, he determined in his heart and mind that why should God get all that? Why shouldn't I get some of that, since I'm the bestest and the mostest? Why shouldn't I get some of that? So we have the account, as you know, chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For why? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the high stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I want to be able to have the recognition that he has. That's what I want. That was the fall of the angels. Satan fell, and then a whole bunch of them with him. They all went because Satan lost his position. He lost his beauty. And he accused God in one real sense that God had no right to judge him like that because hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Judgment. Now that isn't a happy thought, because remember, they're very conscious of eternity, timelessness. They know what it is to be in God's wonderful heaven, heavenly atmosphere. They also know, in a sense, what it would be like to be absent from God's heavenly atmosphere forever. It's one thing for 10 years. It's another thing forever to dwell in the lake of the fire, lake of fire, forever. You think of that, forever. That's sobering. Now, that's what he wanted. And so therefore, God created humans. Now, and God created humans. And what are humans going to do, among other things? They're going to demonstrate they're less than angels. They're made of the dust of the earth. That's what they are. And they get privileged to have a unique relationship to God and the power of choice. The power of choice. And so, Adam and Eve ended up choosing to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they lost their relationship to God. Now, God all knew all this. So here comes God. He's judged Lucifer, son of the morning, angels, and now he has to judge Adam and Eve. And he judged Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve understood Genesis 3:15. What is Genesis 3:15? It's about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent or the devil. History is lined up with people that believe. History is lined up with the opposite, people that don't believe. Two lines running through history. That's all. Two. Either believe or you don't believe. We aren't talking about religions. No, you're either saved or you're unsaved. Now, and so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so here's Lucifer, son of the morning. He wants to be like whatever. And Genesis 6, Genesis 11, etc., etc. And what do we know? Lucifer, son of the morning, has become the god of this world, little g-o-d, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He's actually the god. To do it again, with, as you know, Ephesians 2 and 2 and 3, he's the prince, the ruler of the power of the air. He's not only the god of this world, he governs all the world, every nation, Matthew chapter 4, etc. He judges every nation. That's what he does. It's his thing. So he's the boss of the whole thing. Now, so what's the battle? The battle is what? Christ and him. He is seeking to make what? Christ died on the cross to save all whosoever's. The devil doesn't want anyone saved. We got a conflict, a battle that has to outwork itself between who? God and the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Two people. Christ, the Son of Man, born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Son of Man, and the Antichrist, born to be what? Child of the devil, the Antichrist. Man, what do you know? All of you, I'm just wondering. Daniel chapter 2, 31. Daniel chapter 7, 1 and following. In Daniel chapter 2, we have what? The image of a man, all of the outworking of the history until the Lord comes. All the nations from Babylon, Media, Persia, Rome, Greece, Rome, all the way down to where we are right now, today, where we are. All of that is outworking itself. And in the process of outworking itself, he's the man. What are we talking about? Oh, but if you would, over in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians, and you'll note to see that all the way through 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 3. Now, what you're comparing, just to see it, the devil, how is it going to work? His two lines. The devil's going to work a system to keep people from being saved. Nations, they're all nations. They're all full of religion and evil. They are not saved. They are not a saved people, a saved nation. So all of the people going through history, in all of the nations, they're unsaved people governing themselves. That's what they're doing. And the image of a man, Nebuchadnezzar, the man, always the man, sliding over now, that's the man, that represents the devil's system. What are we going to do? We're going to go from the man, Christ, from the devil, from Lucifer, from the devil or Satan, to the man. He's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. We're going to go from that god and sliding over. Where are we going? It's the image of man. It's not God, but not about God. It's about man. Man, somebody. That's the whole point. That's what the devil did. The devil said, I'm somebody. But you aren't God. But he tried to be God. So here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition, the man of sin. Like Christ is the man born in Bethlehem of Judea. By this man, the Son of Man, God is going to judge the whole, everybody, including the devil, the man. What are you going to do, Mr. Devil? In contrast, greater is he that is in the world. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's going to go, the man. He's going to show that he's God. And to tie it together, if you looked at the same account, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 2 is looking at history from a human standpoint. Daniel chapter 7 is looking at human history from heaven. And it isn't a nice thing. They're all kinds of beast. Wild, not domestic, wild beast is the word. So when we come to the wild beast, we're going to come. The man, we got that all the way through. The man. And keeping people from believing in that sense. The God of this world hath blinded them that believe not. And so over to Revelation. And in chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13. And what do we know from Daniel chapter 7? It's about wild beast. Instead of seeing that man, we see a wild beast. Chapter 13, the Antichrist. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 7 crowns, upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, a bear, a lion, the dragon gave him his great power, his seat, and great authority. Now, so what do we got? We got on the one hand, we've got Jesus Christ going to the cross to die for every human being that all might come to know him as their Lord and Savior. In a world that leaves God out, Genesis 6, and et cetera, et cetera. The world system doesn't have any place, has no room for God. Religion up to here, but not for God. Not for God. Not for God. Therefore, here's this movement, and here's the devil coming along, and everything's consistent. The man, the beast, the Antichrist, always the same. It's a conflict. 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 The devil opposing all that God was doing. What is God doing? He's trying to save whosoever's. And he saves whosoever's as the Son of Man. And he saves them if they would get saved out of the system. So we got two things going on all the way through history. Here we are sitting here simply. We're sitting here. We're able to what? Either be saved or not saved. Saved or not saved. And there's a conflict. Greater is he that is in you, if you're saved, than he that is in the world. That's what it's doing. That's what's happening. The devils want darkness. God's looking for light. The devil wants death to remain, and God wants life to be found, his life. And that's what we got. So when we read 1 John chapter 4, etc., we read that Jesus Christ is what? Is greater in you so that you can be an overcomer. Overcomer where? In the world system. In the world system that you live in. You're able to win. The world system doesn't want you to win. There's no one. My old nature doesn't want you to win. Your old nature doesn't want me to win. How's that? There's nothing for it. God himself is enough. Greater is he that is in you than the whole system you live in that loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Simple. Simple. All the things going on. But us human beings, walk up and down the street, go and eat and drink and do what we do. We do it. That's what we do. Understanding the power and the exercise of the history moving. And it's our turn. We're on planet Earth, and we have the right to be. It's a conflict. It was a conflict 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. It's a conflict now between the two, God and Christ and the devil, all the way to the end of the tribulation, all the way to the end. It's a conflict, and that's what's moving to. Moving to what? To where the devil has his opportunity to bring the whole world together, the Battle of Armageddon, for what? To get all us humans to shake their fist at God. And the devil said, I win. I win. You didn't get anybody. I kept them all from ever being saved. That's what I did. My system did. Ah. So now, what are you saying in 1 John? He's warning the believers. Do you understand? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So yeah, I'm trying to, you have to understand, it's all negative except for God in your heart. That's positive. And the positive outweighs the negative. Because greater is he that is in your heart than he that is in the world. Now, exercise. Over, if you would, please. Back over to 1 John. And if you can, 1 John, if you can. I hope that helps you a little bit. You got to have the big picture. Otherwise, you don't. You think it's just little old you working, and somehow, and right now, all the stuff is working out there for the end up, to end up like in Revelation 13 and all that, with the money, the powers that be, all maneuvering for positions to take the, you can't do it all. You got it all over the, everywhere. Where are you going to go? China? Venezuela? No. Canada? No. Where are you going to go? The system's busy. Our country's busy. Now, so therefore, I in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Now, so that you see that a little bit, picking up that in mind, if I can, picking up, oh, go with me, please, to catch it, you'll see it in verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Already it's in focus, it's in practice. Now, having said that, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea. But God's word, you could just read that and say, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Oh, yes, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea and had a body like you and I do. That's correct. But it isn't correct. You need to add something else, the main point. And you slide down and to see it. You got that in verse 3. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, slide over, if I can, to chapter 4. And verse 15, who shall confess that Jesus, now, and back to verse 3, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and you can say it, you could say it, Jesus is Christ come in the flesh. He is Jesus, that's his humanity, Christ, his deity, Christ. What's the whole argument, verse 2 and 3? Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, when we read, you want to understand, that's the point. God in Christ died on the cross to save us. So, chapter 4 and verse 15, Jesus is the Son of God. Chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus the humanity, Christ his deity, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And you keep reading, chapter 2, Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Christ. He is the Christ of God, the Christ of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, so what are we looking at? So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what greater is he that is in you? Who is in you? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. He's God. That's why he's greater. The world system is godless. When you receive Christ Jesus, you received, we've been doing all this, so you see it. It isn't, you received actually, you have to have a unique relationship to God personally. God in Christ died on the cross in his perfect humanity so that he, having died in Christ, paying the penalty, could now go and find his home in your heart as God was in Christ. God is in your heart in Christ. It's a unique, awesome relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, keep that in mind, if you would, in the process, in God's wonderful keeping and caring. So, and you, so that's important. And you know, how are you going to know? You don't have to go back there, chapter 4, and in verse 2 and 3, God, every spirit, verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, God. That's how you know the difference. Is the believer saved? They has to be saved. They has to find God, God's saving grace in their heart to be saved. Otherwise, they aren't saved. They're unsaved. So that's what they need to understand and keep in mind. They need to get saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and therefore, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. And so therefore, looking at chapter 4 and verse 4, if we can, we have overcome. Overcome with the result, the verb. We have overcome with the result, we have overcome. We aren't going to overcome. It's because we have overcome. How did we ever overcome? When we received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't get more saved. When you received him, you received the Savior. You went from death unto life, from darkness into light. And that happened the moment you received him as your Savior. You have to learn and understand what happened to you. So here we are looking. And so you have to be, and those that overcome, we have overcome. And verse 4, and overcome them, slide up to verse 1. Overcome them, slide up to verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That tells us don't be believing every spirit. Try and put to the test the spirits, whether they are of God, belong to God, or they don't. Because many false prophets are gone out into this world. And we did all of that with 1 Timothy 4, etc. God is going to go. The demons have all kinds of doctrines for people, and they eat and drink and have all kinds of rules and regulations. To what? In order to honor God and know God by our works. But you don't know God by your works. You know God by his saving grace. So God, you're going to have to go and to overcome. Verse 4, chapter 4, we have overcome. Perfect tense, perfect. We have overcome that we stay overcome. We have conquered. We've got the better. We have vanquished. We have caused the greater. We win. The reason for it, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that's the reason, as we shared together. And so Satan is therefore to go, and the sin to keep the system going, and to people either saved or not saved. And that's what it's going to be. Now, having said that, a little exercise just to see it for the, do it, to see it. When, here's the world system doing what it does in the way it does. And you receive Christ as your Savior, and God saves you. And he leaves you, John 17, he doesn't take you out of the world. He leaves you in the world, to be in the world. And being in the world, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, being in the world, we're saved, but we aren't of it anymore. We don't belong to it. So therefore, in verse 4, we've overcome them, the false prophets, all the stuff that's happening. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, go look at verse 24, chapter 3, and just have a little exercise, which you already know. In chapter 3 and verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, every simple English, you don't need to be brilliant, simple, wonderful words, the gospel, wonderful, simple, simple. Verse 24, command dwelleth in him, in God, and he, God, in him, in you, Christ, in you, the hope of glory. How do you explain being saved? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is what? In you than he that is in the world. It's a relationship. Not hard. It's said again and again. It's a simple, wonderful relationship that happens when you receive Christ as your Savior. Again, and the middle of verse 24, he and him, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us in God's wonderful, wonderful care. Over to the Gospel of John, where you go many times. And in John chapter 14, you're going to all over the place just reading a little bit to see it. John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, in verse 20. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now how brilliant do you need to know and understand that? I drink the water. The water's in the glass. I drink the water. The water goes down my stomach. Goes down. Simple. That's all it does. It's in me. It's in me. Wasn't it complicated? That's how you're going to have lunch or something today. What are you going to do? You're going to put it somehow on an instrument, maybe, or your fingers, depending what it is, and you're going to put it in your mouth. What are you going to do? You're going to put it where? In your mouth. In your mouth to chew it. What for? To get it inside. What for? For life, physical life. It's not hard. God, you didn't make this so complicated. No. I couldn't have made it simpler. My son, I want to have a personal relationship to a person. God's person, your person. A personal relationship, directly. Wonderful. That's what God wants. Do you understand that? Do I understand that? That's what God wants. Personal. You can't ask for it better. Now, God, you can. But where is God? God in the system. The system, if you don't have God, there is no. The system works like we shared a little bit in Sunday school. Now, over again, no? Where to go? Oh, yeah. Second, Colossians. And just all kinds of places. And you keep reading your Bible, that's what you're going to read. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians, and in chapter 1, and in verse 27. Colossians 1, 27, picking if I can, and you'll note, to whom God would make known, 1, 27, Colossians, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, and then the little words, over and over and over and over in you. Now, there should be no confusion. There should be no question. Either I received Christ as my Savior, I didn't. And he said, Romans, Revelation 3, if you open the door, I will come in to you. I don't know what you're doing. I just don't know how you're going to handle it. It's pretty simple. The system doesn't want it understood. Be religious, to be whatever, but our whole nature doesn't want that. It just doesn't want that. So Colossians. And what are we going to do? Colossians 2 and 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, you opened the door and received him as your Savior. Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, the body of truth, which is to be believed, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, abounding therein with thanksgiving, enjoying God's wonderful life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God, so you got to help us. So, God, all of it's so simple. In you, 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 in you. Now, so I don't know how to get it simpler. I didn't make it simple. God made it simple. And so I need to just look at it and say thank you that I could receive you as my Savior and Lord. And you are going to go if I open the door of my heart, Revelation 3:20, etc., etc. I will come in. That's what you said. I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me. I'm going to find my home in your heart, and your heart is going to find your home in mine, heart to heart. That's why we love God with all our heart, because there's only one God. And in order to enjoy God, we have to love him like we did in Sunday school. You gotta love him. Because he's God. What you're really saying is, thank you, God, for being my God. There is no competition. There is no other. You alone, all by your lonesome, demand everything. You have the right for my total 1,000,000,000% devotion to you. Without question, you're my God. There are no other gods, as we shared in Sunday school. I know that's hard for some. You have to think about it, though. There isn't. We're religious up to here. We have works. We do this. We do this. That's how we get. We don't understand. God is personal. He's given us his word, and the Spirit of God is going to do what he does for our little old hearts. So therefore, he's going to overcome, cause us to overcome. Over in 1 John. And you'll remember now in 1 John, picking up please, if I may, in verse 5. Chapter 5, picking up please, if I can, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, God, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. And this we know, that we love the children of God, even when we love God. That's right. Because God, they're part of the system. We love what God loves. We love God. and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith overcometh the world. How are we going to overcome the world? Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Who is he that overcometh? Verse 5. The world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You received him as your Savior. You received God's wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ, and you're able to go and enjoy God's awesome person in an awesome way. So when we go over, if we can, over to, picking up in thought, over to, well, you aren't far away, why not just turn a few pages over to Revelation and remind yourself and myself, Revelation chapter 2, and picking up in mind. Revelation chapter 2, picking up, please. Remember, at the end of all each seven churches, seven local churches, and God has a word to say to each one of them the same. Chapter 2, here's the church in Ephesus. He that hath an ear, verse 7, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, what is the Spirit of God saying? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, to every one of you. You're going to say the same thing. Why do we overcome? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make you an overcomer. So it's supposed to be overcomers. That's right. We're supposed to be overcomers in a most wonderful way. That's what we're supposed to be. Not because of anything of us or the system. The system doesn't care. The system doesn't want it. God wants it. God, you're shortchanging God. You're grieving him. You're quenching him. Because greater is he is in you. John chapter 16. And you know, in John chapter 16, picking up, please. And you'll remember, as we did the Gospel of John, John chapter 16. When you end the discourse, our Lord talking to the 11 disciples, talking to them, and then he has the prayer, verse 17. But before he does the prayer, he says this, verse 13, 16:33, our Lord's last words before he prays. These things have I spoken unto you, 13, 14, 15, 16 chapters. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Better. Here's the line going. Two lines, believing and unbelieving. That's all there is. And it's a conflict. And here we are, representing our Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. And God, you're going to go, and we're overcomers. We're supposed to overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. We're supposed to overcome. Why am I supposed to overcome? Because he overcame. That's why you overcome. The victory's his. It's what he did. Not what we did. It's what he did. And we're supposed to exercise, and we're privileged to have such a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. To maybe he overcame. He's the winner. And God, all we had to do is what? Receive you as our Savior. And we went from the negative side to the positive side of believing. And God, you saved us in a most wonderful way. Over in closing, you get the idea? God, you're going to do that. Over to 1 Corinthians 15, which you read, and you would note, without doing it all, but you get the idea. If I can, sliding down, I'll go right to where it is. O death, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory. There's your word. Victory. Victory. Overcoming. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to you to outwork your wonderful will in your wonderful way. So we're going to do it by faith. That's right. You walk by faith, not by sight. I told you what to understand. I told you so you understand what's going on. So you aren't trying to fix everything. You aren't going to fix everything. So don't worry, don't fret about that. You aren't going to fix very much. But you certainly can go and have in your heart and enjoy being saved and knowing God, being in the light and not in the darkness, having a relationship to God as opposed to having none. You have one. It's called eternal life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you got an old nature and a new nature is there. Do you know in the airplane, we have the natural law of gravity. The natural law of gravity says if we put something up, it can't stay up. It can't stay up. Why can't it stay up? Stay up! Stay up. Stay up. I can't get it to stay up. Could you? Can you get this to stay up? No. No. But, we can't do that. But you know, there's another law, and that's the law of aerodynamics, etc. In the aerodynamics, if we apply that law, to the aeroplane, and we can go down the runway 180 miles an hour, whatever it is, and up we go. Now, how do we do that? We can't get rid of the law of gravity. You can't change. The wages of sin is death. You can't change the system. No. You got an old nature. You can't get rid of your old nature until you die. What am I going to do? The law of gravity exists at the same time the law of aerodynamics. And if I apply the law of aerodynamics, if I apply that, do you know I could get in the plane and go up in the air? The plane is designed for to fly against the law of gravity. No, it isn't against the law of gravity. The law of gravity is just the same, but the law of aerodynamics is another law to have to work with. You have an old nature, and when you got saved, you have a new relationship to God. Now, some people don't like to ever fly in a plane because they feel they aren't safe, and I understand that. People feel they aren't safe. But you know, I stand there and watch the planes go up, and I watch them. And people get on the plane, and the plane goes up, and the plane lands. So I ought to be encouraged to fly, because planes go up, hundreds of them every day, or thousands of them, they go up. I ought to be encouraged, because the law of aerodynamics certainly works. So it has to work, yeah, by faith. They believe and get in the plane. That's how I used to get in the plane. Get in a plane. I get in the plane, sit in the seat, close your eyes and hold your head down and pray. No, I'm just kidding. Get in the plane and then shoot down the runway and off you go. I don't make the plane fly. I simply sit in the plane and the plane, I can't make it. I can't overcome gravity, but the plane can. When I get in the plane, I overcome gravity. When I trust God, I overcome my sin nature. My sin nature's there, it doesn't go away. But the law of God's saving grace in your heart overrides your old nature. Do you understand? And all you had to do is practice the law of aerodynamics and get on the plane. You don't have to get on the plane. Christ is already in you to fly. Do you understand? To fly. He is already in you. You don't have to do anything by faith. That's what believers are. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And they're walking around, heavenly beings in an earthly body, looking for God's wonderful coming. That's what they're doing. And the world looks at them, oh, I don't think they can fly. I'm not going to get in that plane. But then we win. Count it all joy when you fall into trouble, all kinds of temptations, all kinds of trouble, pain, headache, everything. And you keep winning. Maybe I ought to try that plane. Maybe I ought to believe, huh? Maybe I ought to just believe like they do. They believe and they fly. That's how you win, isn't it? Isn't it hard? You have to believe it. You believe it. God said it. Greater is he that's in you. Then take off. See? Take off. I can't. Why can't you? He is greater than the law of sin in your heart. He's the Savior. He saves you to fly, to fly. You got the idea? We got to fly away now. We got the idea? I'm trying to make it simple for you. The whole thing is clearly as uncomplex as you could be and awesomely profound. Beyond imagination, beyond our words. We have no language to display in our language. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have no way to explain God in the little old human heart to save me. Wow. What do you think? Greater is he that's in you. See, it isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about what I saved, you see. And if I could take my magic pill, I would float down the aisle and go out the door. See? But I don't have a magic pill. I stumble through the door as a saved man. You go home as a saved believer because greater is God in you than he that is in the world. That is what you need to lock onto. It's the simplest, easiest thing to understand if you want to.